This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney.
Hey, I'm Lacey. I live in New York City.
Hello, everybody. My name's Aaron.
What's up? My name's Eddie, and this is My Kindness Story.
I had no idea who he was, never met him before, and he just looked me in the eyes and he said, "It's gonna be okay, man. It's gonna be okay."
Somebody in our group said something so profound. They said, "Give this girl $100 and she'll teach us how to save the world."
I still don't know if he knew I peed my pants or if he was just very cool about the whole thing.
He spoke up. He slipped off his tennis shoes and handed them over to another fourth grade boy.
I think the only thing that we bought was a stroller, which is crazy.
She went down to UDF to get me my favorite ice cream. She brought it to me as I'm still on the floor crying, and I was just blown away.
I knew that someone had seen my hurt and had looked it in the eye and said, "Pain does not equal defeat, not today."
I am grateful for someone who overcame her fear of the unknown and dared to care.
It was a really sweet moment, and I just wanted to share it.
I really appreciated her kindness.
Kindness does exist.
With the election just around the corner, political discourse has been widespread and often divisive. But since January, the Cincinnati nonprofit Bespoken Live has been holding monthly storytelling events to encourage positive communication. And the organization recently launched a web-based campaign, #BeKind2016, that collects stories of human kindness during a time of cultural divide. Joining us from Bespoken Live to discuss how these stories can be a positive influence and allow us to better understand each other are Executive Director Brad Wise, Vice President Harmony Hensley, and Producer Ryan Eaton. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Harmony, Brad, and Ryan, thank you for being here this afternoon. Good to see everybody.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So, Harmony or Brad, whichever one of you wants to tackle this, but explain to me what inspired the creation of Bespoken Live.
The whole organization?
Yeah.
So we started off, a group of us had a bunch of friends that were basically skilled storytellers that had kind of no home to do that. And so we had an idea of what if we got a bunch of them and some of our improv comedian friends and some live musician friends and just tried a new kind of thing for us, and we picked a four-letter word as a theme to tell stories around, and we went to the Woodward Theater and just tried it. Got a bunch of us just telling stories, and it was magical. Like, it was just a great night, and from there started doing more shows and just tried to figure out what do we do with this, because when we got together and people were vulnerable and shared from their heart and we laughed and cried and hoped together, the best word that we have for it is that just something transcendent happened. And so we decided to launch a nonprofit at the start of this year under Bespoken Live because we would do the shows and they weren't making any money. So it made sense just to officially
embrace
make
that.
It. Yeah, embrace the fact that it was a nonprofit and go from there.
How much do we need a project like that these days? We've got this election going on that's been very contentious. It's in full swing right now. What do you see as the need for this in this day and age?
Yeah, I mean, as we were just hanging around with each other, we honestly were just curious, like, were more people like us? Were they feeling that they were just tired of the divisive narrative that was out there, that the stories that every time you turned on the news or turned on your Twitter or anything, there's just bad stories and just felt like we were being pulled apart more than being pulled together. And whenever we had our live shows, people were coming together, and it was like, what do we do in those off days? And so we just wanted to see, were there other people out there that were feeling like us who wanted to just share active human kindness stories?
Yeah, and at those shows, part of the magic was that the people who were in the room were all very different. So it's not like we gathered this, you know, very homogenous group of people who all think the same and look the same and do the same things. It was really diverse, and yet at the end of the night, we felt so together, and there was just something really magical about that. And we thought, I think the world needs more of this right now, and maybe we're onto something.
Ryan, tell us about your involvement with the project and what you've seen.
Yeah, so actually, that first show, I had nothing to do with it, and I just came there from a mutual friend.
I actually just had a time hop, and it was a year ago today. Was really? Hero. Yeah. So, wow. Yeah, kind of strange. But so I just, as soon as I went there, he's exactly right in saying just transcend it. I was like, I have to get involved with this somehow. So I met up with Brad, and now I'm just more of like a producer. So I try to meet people and, like she said, try to get a diverse group together. And because that's really part of the magic is having a diverse crew, like she said.
So are people coming to you with their stories? Or are you going out looking for the stories? How does that work?
It's a mix of both. So some will just be a friend of a friend says, hey, you got to meet this guy. He's great. And so we'll just make sure that happens. And then other times it just might be a friend of Brad's. But a lot of it has just come from us. But there's storytellers out there where that's kind of part of this Be Kind initiative where we are looking for storytellers that can just upload stories on the website directly.
So. Yeah, at our shows, we craft and curate a list of storytellers to come share. And then for this Be Kind initiative, we just want to hear everyone's stories. So we're asking people to go onto the website, and you can type something as a blog post, you can create a YouTube video, but all of us have stories of when we've experienced someone's kindness. Like Harmony has a pretty great story of something that she experienced and actually shared.
Yeah, yeah. Just in talking about, you know, all of the dissent in my neighborhood, there have been a lot of signs for a certain candidate who maybe is viewed as being a little negative. And I was starting to feel really frustrated and down by that. And I've just had a really rough year personally. My husband had a stroke. We're in our 30s. I know you can't tell that from the radio, but we're very young. He's okay. But we've had multiple major health scares, just really kind of knocked the wind out of me. And one day I'm sitting in my back porch and we're putting together a little fire with my son, and I hear a lawnmower, and I'm like, whose mower is that? And I realize there's a guy mowing my yard, and what you need to know about this is I don't know this guy. I know he lives in my neighborhood. I know he actually lives one street away, and he and his buddy, who both are neighbors, whose names I don't know, heard about my husband, and they just keep showing up and mowing my yard. And I mean, it looks like a golf course. My yard looks amazing right now. So I'm going to get a little spoiled, but I called Brad on it because I was just like, these people just keep showing up. And that's what kindness is. It's people who just show up. And it really was telling for me, because as I drive by and I see this guy and I wave at him, he has a sign in his yard that I don't agree with. But at the heart of it, he's a human, just like me. And he saw that I was going through something hard, and he did the most practical thing ever. And it shook me in all the good and right ways. And I said, this is what this is about. It's about stopping and noticing those moments where even though we may not agree on everything, we can meet each other there in the middle in my yard, you know, over my grass. And he's keeping me from getting fined from the HOA. And if that's not kindness, I don't know what that is. So we just want to collect more of those, because we believe that despite the narrative that we're hearing, the real story is that people are good and we are kind and we're capable of more. So we want to amplify that.
Did you go into this with that notion that people are good and that's what we want to bring out? Or did you go with the notion that we're just not sure, but we're seeing evidence that people are good? You see?
Yeah. I mean, it started with you know, there was the story of down in Orlando, and you had people waiting in line to donate their blood with folks that they may not agree with politically, and we just thought those were the stories that whenever those terrible things happened, those are the stories that as a group, like, we would come to work and just discuss. Like, did you see this story? Yeah, that story's terrible, but did you see this? And then we would share our own stories, and we just thought that contagious hope that happens when you share stories, that's what we wanted to experiment with. And we just had a show a couple weeks ago. It was the Kind Show. So we always pick a four-letter word, and this was the show where we talked about kindness. And we took a moment in the middle of it, and we just stopped and had basically a meditation and thought about the good things that happened to us that we don't spend a lot of time reflecting on. You know, usually all we're doing is going through our Twitter feeds. I don't think I'm the only one, and just sort of like feeding that almost raging beast that you have in you of just the time that we live in, right? And so we just wanted to take a time to just stop and just reflect on when people have been there for us, when they've done things like mowed Harmony's lawn. And it was powerful. I mean, yeah. You guys experienced it, but it was a powerful, powerful evening.
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, we just experienced like a little chunk of what Bespoken Live is with Harmony just telling that story. Because, and I think you always see that on Facebook feeds where people are saying, why isn't this in the media? They never show this. And the truth is that they're out there. All these stories are out there. It's just that our mind for some reason is attracted to the negative, and we just want it, we attach to the negative. And it takes times like our show and taking these meditations and just stopping and listening to these stories to really process the positive. I think that's something that not a lot of us do. You know, we can easily just grab onto the negative, but it just takes a little bit more effort to process that positiveness that is out there.
Ryan, do you have a story you can share?
Well, I brought a few from maybe our website. So just to talk about, there was one on there, a girl's mother was sick with cancer, but she was away from that, her hometown. So she kept on feeling terrible that she wasn't able to take care of her mom. And so finally she was able to afford a plane ticket back. And when she went back, she realized the house was clean. There was food in the fridge. The lawn was mowed. And she had realized that basically her whole community just gathered around her, knowing that she wasn't able to be there, still was taking care of her mom. And so that's just one example of one of the stories on our website.
Yeah, there's one from a guy who he was running a marathon and got to the point where he just wanted to quit. You know, it was, I can't imagine, I've never ran more than 5 miles, so getting up into the 20s would be insane. But he said he was running down the street and this woman was just standing out in the middle of the road and like connected, like their eyes just met, and she told him, like, you can do it, you're strong enough to do it. And it gave him the strength to go on. This woman was just out there helping runners. Yeah, all kinds of stories.
I feel like someone needs to talk about the pee pants thing, since
heard that earlier, so we may as well.
Yeah, just to give backstory here, a buddy of ours was telling a story about when he was a kid. He unfortunately had a habit of peeing his pants, and we all know that despite what Adam Sandler said, it's not cool. And so he had an incident in the playground where he had peed his pants, and he was hiding under playground equipment, and these other two boys were like shoving mulch through the playground equipment to like taunt him. And this other kid came over and rescued him from that situation. And he said, you know, the beauty of it is, he said, I don't know if he knew I'd peed my pants or not. I don't know if he was just being super cool. But regardless, he saw him in that moment. And, you know, it just kind of is a great thing to hear that a kid was being nice, because there are so many horror stories of children being monsters. So it was a great way for us to remember that even though some of us might have had bullies, you know, when we were younger, there were still those kids who stuck up for us, and they're our lifelong friends. They become, you know, the best man at the wedding and that sort of thing. And so part of, I think, the magic of all of it, we were like all so excited after the Be Kind show for the next 24 hours. I just felt like I was on this high of happiness, just hearing other people talk about really hard things, but good things that came from it. And the great thing was, these were people who are so different from me, who I might instinctively be afraid of or distance myself from. But now I find myself, over the course of this year, with these stories that we've curated, I have become so insatiable to hear other stories. Like, I thirst for it. I want to hear different things. I want to see what other people think and how their life is.
Where are the stories coming from? Just from Cincinnati, or are these coming from all over
They're from all over. We have some folks with beautiful Australian accents. New York City. Yeah. I don't know if somebody...
Nashville,
I think,
Tennessee.
Nashville. Yeah, so they're coming from all over. It started, you know, we started with our network of just putting it out there, like, hey, we're trying this. Submit your stories. We got some friends. I just met a guy over in Ireland who runs this thing called Suspended Coffees, and he has a whole mess of people that are into this kindness thing, and he's going to blast it out. So we're hoping to get a bunch of Irish people sharing their stories. Would be amazing. So, yeah, we'll see where it goes.
How many stories? Any idea?
Gosh,
I don't know what it's up to.
I think right now we're right around like 25. Yeah, looking for more.
Yeah, we're always looking for more. And I would say, you know, even when you're at a bespoken night, let's say there are six specific storytellers that are featured, there are hundreds of stories that happen that night, because we don't just leave. We hang out and we're like sparked to remember, like, oh my gosh, when you told the story, this thing happened to me. And before you know it, like, we're standing there for another hour or so just telling stories. And it's magic, because in a world where we all connect through social media and it's this peripheral engagement, there's something, I don't know, primal about those nights, because we're in person talking to each other, crying. I mean, I have ugly cried on more strangers. I mean, and that's not something that you do, you know, but it's just, it's amazing when you create space for humanity. Things happen. It's magic.
What do you think makes storytelling so powerful, Harmony?
I really think it's that personal connection. It's that moment when you say, me too. Me too. There was a woman who spoke at our Be Kind show, and she was from the audience, was not a scripted part. We kind of had a space after the meditation where people could share, and she stood up in front of this room of total strangers and talked about serious mental illness that she wrestled with. And afterwards, she came up, and I had told a story, and she said, I can't believe you said that. You know, you have what I have. And I said, yeah, you know, it's okay. There's space here to just be yourself, and you don't have to put on this representative of who you are, but you can be authentic, and it's okay to say, yeah, I'm clinically depressed, but it's okay. You know, I've struggled through hard things. It's okay. There's just something primal about that connection.
Yeah, I think what's so powerful with storytelling is that you realize that you're not so alone. And that's when you boil it all down to, like, why are we doing anything that we're doing, is that we want people to not feel so alone. Absolutely. And when you see someone up on stage that doesn't look like you or talk like you, didn't grow up where you did, but they're dealing with the same stuff that you are, that they're insecure, that they failed, and you think, thank God, because I thought I was the only person that felt this way. That connection, I think, is it can change everything.
Yeah, and you always talk about, for some reason, we suspend any judgment when we hear a story. So when people are telling stories, we're not worried about who are they voting for? What? Right. Why are they thinking? We just listen, and we stop and listen and see the humanity of it.
Because when people tell their story, we're looking for ourselves in it. I mean, we're looking for that common ground, and you find it. And that's the crazy thing. I think so much of our culture right now is about being heard and not about listening. And part of the magic of what we create in those environments is not just being heard, but there's very real space to listen and then to respond. And that's, I think, when we slow the world down, that's the beauty of human interaction. And that's what we're seeing. And so we're really hoping that people will flood us with their stories, because honestly, like, we're addicted now.
So tell us again how to get stories in.
Yeah. So you can follow along with us on Facebook. It's just Bespoken Live. But the best way is you go to bespokenlive.org, and there's a click little button. It's blue right there in the middle. It says share your story, and you can type that. You can make a YouTube video, whatever you're most comfortable with, and we'll post it out there to the world to enjoy.
How long do you keep this going?
We'll see. You know, it started as an experiment, and I'm sure it will end as an experiment. What we hope is it's the same thing, whether it's kind or any of the other words that we're picking for that month. We all just want to hear each other's stories. We want to be more of a story sharing group as opposed to just a storytelling group. And so even if this political season moves on and we decide, okay, the kind thing had its run, we'll switch on to the next word. Like in November, the word is home. And so November 11th, we'll share home stories.
Harmony, Brad, and Ryan, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Executive Director of Bespoken Live, Brad Wise, Vice President Harmony Hensley, and Producer Ryan Eaton.